This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty then. This is the Garden Hotline on a Saturday morning in October. I'm Scott Jagow. Glad to be joined by Erin Goss. She returns. She's with the Shaw Nature Reserve. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Scott.
Are you German?
I am partially German.
I was going to say. Isn't Goss a German name?
It is possible, to be quite honest. I'm not exactly sure. I know northern France and Germany.
Yeah, I was going to say that area. Yeah, I was just thinking, it's October. We're celebrating Oktoberfest. It started last month, of course. And Hermann, have you been to Hermann?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I like Hermann. It's
beautiful, beautiful town.
So with October and gardening and trees and all that stuff, what do we thinking about right now?
You know, a lot of people are thinking about putting their gardens to bed for the winter. Also leaf cleanup.
And although it's 91 degrees.
Although it's 91. But sometimes that does lead to early leaf drop. So we are seeing some leaves dropping a little earlier than normal. But I'm sure we all are also looking forward to the colors of fall. It's one of the reasons why I love fall is all of those beautiful colors.
Yeah, they're coming, but I think we're still a little bit aways based on what I saw on TV.
Yes,
so maybe a couple
correct.
More weeks.
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. The number to call to ask your question, your specific question for Erin, is 314-436-7900. Last week, we couldn't get to all the callers who wanted to ask a question, so I would urge you to get in early today if you have one. 314-436-7900. 7900. We'll get to those in just a minute. But in terms of the foliage, where is the best place to go see it?
Well, I'm a little biased.
Oh, yeah. So, Shaw Nature Reserve.
So Shaw Nature Reserve. But really, we have some wonderful parks around the city. And so like Forest Park is a great place to go and walk. Tower Grove Park. A lot of our smaller neighborhood parks. Again, Missouri is blessed with so many natural areas. You can go to Emmenegger, you can go to, if you're willing to drive a little bit, Don Robinson State Park is absolutely phenomenal. Check out one of our natural areas and state parks.
Yeah, one of my favorites is certainly Tower Grove Park.
Oh, yes.
I love the trees in Tower Grove Park and the colors that come out there, the variety. Some of the best pictures I've ever taken were at Tower Grove Park. So that's my bias.
Yes.
All right, let's start with the phone calls on the Garden Hotline. Terry, you're up first for Erin Goss.
Good morning. I've got two questions. One, I've got a couple small, like two-year-old apple trees, and they're sprouting from the ground. Like there's like five trunks coming up. When is the best time to cut those off? And when is the best time to plant apple and pear trees?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what you're seeing down at the base of the apple tree are called suckers. And so what happens is a lot of times our apple trees are grafted. And so the base plant is trying to kind of take over the larger part of the plant. So the best time to prune back suckers is really any time of the year. You can prune those back. But if you want to be extra safe, wait until the apple tree drops its leaves and goes dormant, and then go in there and cut them back. As far as planting, you can plant in the fall or you can plant in the spring. Either of those seasons are great times to plant. If you plant in the fall, you have a little bit more time to put on root development before the stresses of the summer. But we don't always have as much water in the fall. So there are kind of pros and cons to both spring and fall planting. So
whenever you're planting a second tree, does it have to be the same variety for germination? Like, I don't remember what kind of pear tree I have, but if I plant another pear tree, if it's not the same variety, will they be able to germinate you know, between the plants?
Sure. So what you want to look for is figure out what type of pear or fruit tree that you have, whatever the cultivar is, and look online. And what'll happen is they'll if you go to like some place like Stark Brothers, which is they're a Missouri based grower that deals with fruit trees. They will they can give you the information on what tree you need to plant in order to pollinate. So what you're looking for is you want a tree that's going to bloom around the same time. You don't have to plant the identical cultivar, but you do want to plant a fruit tree that blooms around the same time so that you have pollination around the same time.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right. We're off and running. Good question. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Aaron, what are your thoughts on pumpkins?
Oh, I love pumpkins. I love to eat them, carve them, see them, and sometimes smash them.
You like to smash them?
Well, you know, when they get a little older and maybe you're having a bad day, you can, you know, give them a little toss and watch them.
I mean, do you have to know anything specific to grow pumpkins?
Oh, you know, not necessarily. Some pumpkins will grow actually in compost piles. Hmm. So if you are a pumpkin fan and you happen to have like a compost pile, just throw that old pumpkin in the compost pile and you may have an entire new
pumpkin patch.
Yeah.
Linus would like that. All right. We're going hard right now. It is October. It is gardening season still. We're thinking about the winter and then planting for next spring. We'll take your questions at 314-436-7900. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Boy, I love some Vince Guaraldi. Also, my favorite peanut special is the Halloween special. There's no doubt about it. Aaron, are you in agreement?
I am totally in agreement.
Yeah. The Great Pumpkin. Man, you can't beat that. That's so funny. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX, 314-436-7900. We're in October. Also, tonight, you may have the slight possibility of seeing the Aurora Borealis in our region.
Ooh.
You probably have to drive a little bit out into the country, but they're saying to see it this far south, you definitely need to go north. But there is the possibility with clear skies tonight into tomorrow morning, you know, might be able to see it. I've actually never seen it myself. Have you?
I have not, no.
Yeah.
Just pictures.
Yeah. Now, last time you said, was it your brother that was taking pictures? He couldn't see it, but he was taking pictures of it?
If I remember correctly, he could not see it with his naked eye, but when he took a photo, that it showed up as kind of pink, the pink streaks, not the green that we're kind of used to seeing, but kind of pink streaks. Now, he's up in Illinois, in the middle of the state, in the country, so I'm sure his, you know, he had clear skies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I wish we had more places in this country where we could see things uninhibited in the skies. You know, there are very few places that there's not light pollution from cities.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And there's actually organizations out there. One is called Missouri Dark Sky, and they are working with municipalities and groups to try to decrease some of that light pollution so that we can see the stars, and also it's not disruptive to especially migratory birds.
Yeah. When you do get a chance to be in a place, like I was in Arizona in the middle of nowhere. Mm. I think actually the town is called Nowhere. it has a population of 2. Anyway, I was out there, and you could see every star, which is just so rare. You can't, you know, we get such a small percentage of the stars at night because of all the city lights. And you go out to a place like that and you don't even know that the sky could possibly look like that. It looks nothing like what you see, you know, around here.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. In a way, it's so humbling, too, because it does show how massive, in a way, the Earth is and the universe is. And then, you know, here we are, this small speck looking up at this grand vista. It is very powerful.
Well, awesome. I'm glad you're tuned into the Astronomy Hotline. No, it's the Garden Hotline. So we're going to talk. We're going to get back to gardening. But it is, you know, an adjacent topic to me. 314-436-7900. Erin Goss is here. She's from the Shaw Nature Reserve. So get in line with your questions. We will get to those in just a moment. Erin, what is going on right now at the Shaw Nature Reserve?
So what's going on right now is we are preparing for the fall. We're entering burn season. So our prairies usually are burned, not necessarily every year, but that's always an exciting time for the staff because, you know, fire, it's kind of fun to set fires in an appropriate way. Here I am talking on air about smashing pumpkins and starting fires. Starting fires.
Yeah.
But also, if I can share, we do have an art show coming up. It's not until November, but every year we put on an art show in a part of the reserve that really is not a place that's visited by the public very often. It's called the Dana Brown Overnight Center. And so the art show runs from November 2nd, which is a Saturday, to November 3rd, which is a Sunday. And there is a fee to enter, but we have a lot of artists of varying mediums. And you get to, like I said, explore a part of the reserve that's not generally accessible to the public.
Remind us of the mission in general of the Shaw Nature Reserve.
So the mission of the Shaw Nature Reserve is to promote conservation, education, and forgive me, I should know the mission statement, but I'm blanking on the last one, but I would say probably horticulture, but definitely conservation and education surrounding our natural environments.
What are the biggest challenges these days with climate change? Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that one out there as one of the obstacles, I would think, facing a place like the Shaw Nature Reserve.
Yeah, one of our challenges is definitely climate change and specifically with the extreme weather. So anytime we have extreme weather, what I mean is long periods of drought. Because we have a lot of woodland areas, extreme drought for a long period of time can affect trees and their health over time. And then the extreme downpours, those downpours that we get massive amounts of rain in a very short period of time, those can erode trails. They can impact soil health, obviously plant health. And then also with climate change, also animals. You know, we're a nature reserve, so we want to work with the creatures of the earth as best as we can. But we still also have demonstration gardens. So we have issues with deer. We have issues with rabbits, groundhogs, woodchucks. And so as the weather changes and we see some of the seasonal migration patterns change a little bit, then we do struggle with a lot of issues with animal pests.
Well, we are definitely seeing the catastrophic nature of these weather extremes right now going on in the Appalachian Mountains. Mm-hmm. More than 200 people have perished in Helene, and it's just a place, a mountainous area that I know fairly well. My parents live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and so I went to school in Chapel Hill. So I know the North Carolina mountains, and it is not a place that is used to that much rain.
Right.
And it's not a place that when you get that much rain that you're not going to have major problems getting around. Mm-hmm. We were talking to someone from Ameren, Illinois. They have a lot of employees there, and Ameren, Missouri, helping to get people's power back, but they were talking about how difficult it is logistically to get around. You know, the terrain is very steep, and so anyway, it's really tragic to see what has happened. But we are seeing more and more of these kinds of things. You mentioned the downpours. You know, we had we've had several major weather events that didn't really occur previously.
Yeah, those flash floods are really dangerous, both to humans, obviously, to infrastructure and animals and plant life. And so, yeah, it's a struggle.
All right. The number is 314-436-7900. What is your question for Erin Goss from the Shaw Nature Reserve? Do you have something you want to ask about heading into the winter? things you need to think about for next spring. We're ready to take your question. And Aaron, I did want to ask, I forgot to ask this. When the public wants to go visit the Shaw Nature Reserve, I mean, what do they need to know in terms of the logistics for that?
Yeah, so the Shaw Nature Reserve is located about 30 miles-ish southeast of, or excuse me, southwest of St. Louis, right off of 44. You can't miss the big sign. When you do visit, there is a fee to get in. It's $5 to get in unless you are a Missouri Botanical Garden member, and then it's free. We do request that you leave your pets at home unless you have a licensed service animal. We do allow service animals on site, but we do not allow emotional support dogs or other pets. They can be extremely disruptive. We don't allow smoking on the property, but there are maps available. There's over 19 miles of hiking trails. Do bring bug spray. We do have quite a bit of ticks out there.
Ooh, I don't like ticks.
Now, if you stay on the trail, which you're supposed to do, usually people don't walk away with ticks. But, you know, there's every so often someone jumps trail and they may come out pretty covered, especially this time of year.
Wow.
You see ticks.
Really? Is this the time of year?
Oh, yeah.
Tick season?
Well, tick season, it's going to start to, hopefully, start to slow down. But when we have warm winters, then the ticks come out earlier in the year and they stay around longer. So
great.
We always hope for a really cold winter so that that kind of dampens some of the tick activities.
Okay. Erin Goss, she is with the Shaw Nature Reserve, which is a cool place. You got to go check it out. And she just explained all the logistics for doing so. Maybe this week would be a good time because the weather's going to cool off after today.
Yeah, and again, once the leaves start turning, it's a beautiful place. And then we still have some plants blooming, so you get the best of the leaves, and you also get some purples and yellows in the garden areas.
All right, we're going to take your questions after a short break. The number to call is 314-436-7900. It is the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Man, this show has been on for more than three decades, and it's still on the air at KMOX, and we still get lots of interest every single week. It's really amazing, and it's a great service for the community, and I appreciate being a part of it. And I'm guessing you do too, Aaron Goss.
I sure do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hang on, we've got to turn your mic on, Drew. All right, here we go. Let's try that again.
I sure do. Okay. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. She's from the Shaw Nature Reserve, and the number to call to get your question in about planting and the winter season coming up, lawn care and trees and whatever you have a question about, is 314-436-7900. And Aaron, right now, this hour is the members-only shopping hour at the Best of Missouri Market at the Missouri Botanical Garden. What can you tell us about this event?
This is one of the hottest events of the year, especially if you're interested in all things made in Missouri. So the whole point of the market is to really showcase what Missouri brings in terms of plants and food and artisans, and they have also there's a distillery. Excuse me, a distillery that actually collaborated with the Missouri Botanical Garden in order to produce a botanical gin based off of some of the collections that are at the Botanical Garden itself. And so you can purchase that at the Best of Missouri Market. So again, they have plants for sale. They have a different artisans selling their wares. They have food. They also have beverages and a food court. And it's a really, really great experience, and live music.
Yeah, that is going on today and tomorrow from 9 to 7 p.m. or sorry, 9 to 5 today and tomorrow. That members only shopping hour is going on right now at the Missouri Botanical Garden in Shaw. Botanical gin, that's an interesting topic we could get into at some other point. St. Louis does have one of the world's foremost experts about gin.
Really?
Yeah. Her name's Natasha. She runs the Gin Room over on Grand, and she is one of 13 members of the World Gin Hall of Fame. She's the only female in the World Gin Hall of Fame. She has about 2,500 gins.
Wow.
And gin is a really fascinating subject because of the variety of botanicals that can go into it.
Right.
It doesn't have very strict regulations. You can almost use anything from a gardening perspective to put into gin.
Yeah. But
that's a topic for another day. Anyway, let's get to the phones with Rebecca is up next on the Garden Hotline.
Thank you. That's fascinating about gin. And thanks for your show.
Yeah.
I have two questions. One is about a peach tree that I've had for 7 years, and it's always had peaches, except this past year there was absolutely nothing on it. And the year prior, I have a neighbor who has maybe some mental issues, and they came and pulled every peach off the tree at one time and put them on my driveway. So I thought, did that shock the tree maybe, and that's why it doesn't have peaches? And it also had, about a week ago, there was like a brown, dark brown ring around the base of the trunk with, it looked like ice cubes, but of course it wasn't, but it was some type of clear things that maybe some type of sap. Does that make any sense, or is all of that unrelated?
No, it's very possible. Excuse me. So I think what you're describing around the base of the tree is probably the sap that is emerging. So sometimes peaches and cherries, anything that is in the what's called the prunus family, they do exude a sap, especially when there's been some sort of damage or if it's stressed. So as far as why you have no peaches, unfortunately, I can't give you a definitive answer. But what I can say is I know we have an apple tree, and our fruit production this year was pretty slim. So it might be that we had a frost at just the wrong time. It could be that you have some sort of pest that is that has infected the tree and that is contributing to its lack of production. What I would suggest is reaching out to Seed St. Louis or Urban Harvest, one of the organizations that really deals with fruit trees. They have a lot of resources on their website, including some information about troubleshooting if you have symptoms of something seems to be going wrong. You could also try reaching out to a place called Stark Brothers. Again, they specifically deal with fruit trees, and they would be better situated to answer your question. So,
great. That sounds really helpful. Thank you. Can I ask you a second question?
Go ahead.
I know Dave Murray says this is related to climate change. And Dave Murray says when there are those white stripes in the sky, that those are just planes going to the airport. But I seem to see a correlation every time, like 2 or 3 days ago, there was a day when there were just like massive stripes of clouds. I don't know if you saw them. Do live in St. Louis, but I thought of Dave Murray, but then I also noticed that seems like 24 to 72 hours after there's a cloud formation like that being in the sky, that our weather changes dramatically. So I just wondered, is it unrelated and I've lost my mind, or do I just seem to notice these stripes in the sky that aren't really going to the airport, if there's any connection?
You know, Rebecca, I really wish I could answer that question for you, but I am not sure. I always have thought that those stripes in the sky were left over also from airplanes, but I know there's a lot of different cloud formations that can that can be very different. And I just don't, I don't know enough about clouds and the weather to answer that question. I'm really sorry.
Thank you. I could see the plane, actually. You know, it wasn't like a cloud. It was a plane and then a stream of white coming from the back of the plane. And I thought, okay, what is this? But thank you. I appreciate your show so much. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thanks, Rebecca. Yeah, I know that's a good topic, actually. Good observation by Rebecca. Maybe, you know, aside from the planes, your point is good. There are different cloud formations, and some of those might mean something in terms of what's coming in the weather. We're looking to the skies today, not just the ground. We've got it all covered. Robert, you're up next on the Garden Hotline. Good morning, Robert.
Morning. I have a question, two questions. One's crepe myrtle. I know, obviously, the blooms are looking depressed at this time. Mm-hmm. How many inches under the bloom do you trim it back?
Good question. So I would, where the blooms have stopped, so there should, it kind of should, that flower structure should kind of form, come together where there's a little stem. And then where there's that little stem, maybe go down between 2 and 3 inches and then cut it off.
Yeah, I guess this is the right time to cut them back because they're looking depressed because of the cooler weather, correct?
Yeah, you can go ahead and deadhead them. That should be fine. That it's not going to hurt the plant at all.
Okay, and also I've had a evergreen or blue spruce, I'm not sure what it is, but it got totally infected and turned like a yellowish color. Do you think it's possible that tree could come back from the infection it's got because it's totally like a yellowish color?
Yeah, that does sound actually pretty bad. What I would suggest is go look up close at the needles and see if you can see any spots on those needles. See if you can see any kind of residue on the branches. Sometimes that if you do see spots on the needles or you see residue on the branches, sometimes that's a really good indication that you do have some sort of actual infection. If your needles are turning yellow, but you don't see any other indication that there is an issue with like a pest infection or a bacterial or fungal infection, then I would suggest go ahead and fertilize that evergreen with something that is going to, sometimes our evergreens will turn yellow because they're lacking in iron. They have an iron deficiency. And so if you can fertilize the evergreen or that spruce with a fertilizer that will help to allow for that iron uptake, then that might clear up the yellow. But if your entire tree is yellow and you see any indications of any kind of fungal infection or you know, like those spots on the needles or any kind of insects along the branches, then I would, unfortunately, the spruce is probably toast. Spruces don't always do very well in St. Louis. They can really struggle. And they do have a lot of pests and diseases.
Hmm. Yeah, this is a huge it's tree bush, I call them. Mm-hmm. But it's like 25 foot tall. It's huge. I've had it for like 20 years, but this is the first time this has happened. So
I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's to lose a larger plant that you've had for a really long time. That can be tough.
It's outlasted its seniority, I guess I'd say. But okay, thanks a lot for the information.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in, Robert. Yeah, that's too bad. Hate to see a tree die. Erin Goss is with us. She is from the Shaw Nature Reserve, and we're taking your questions, whatever you want to talk about this October as we head into the middle of fall, planting for next spring. whatever you want to get to. 314-436-7900 is the phone number. We'll continue with those questions in just a moment. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. All right, it's the Garden Hotline on KMOX for this Saturday morning. Beautiful morning. It's going to be hot today, but it feels good right now in the 60s. Erin Goss is our guest. She's answering your questions at 314-436-7900. I have a question, Erin, about water management. Tell me about this time of year in terms of what people need to do water management-wise.
So water management, one of the things you can do this year is just take a look at what you have going on your property. So the next time we have a really heavy rain, walk outside, take a video, watch the water and how it moves through your property, especially if you have an area where you have pooling or maybe some erosion. Because if you can see and notice the flow of water on your property, then that's the first step to figuring out what you can do about it. So when we have, especially when we have really heavy rains, what happens is a lot of water does something called, it sheets off of especially turf grass, and it picks up steam. It actually collects momentum, and it moves faster on hills, and again, especially if there's like turf grass or nothing at all. So just take a look at what's going on, really notice that movement. And then over the winter, you can develop a plan. There's money out there, some grants that can help you redirect water to an area that you want it to flow to, that where you won't have as much pooling or erosion.
What are the repercussions of not doing anything?
So the repercussions on the property start with potentially erosion. Again, pooling of water that can then back up into a house or another, like a shed, which can be really detrimental, obviously, to the house, but also foundations. Mm. Super saturated soils aren't always as stable as we would like them to be. So on an individual's property, there are some effects. But then if we look at the greater region or our neighborhoods, when we have water that's moving really, really, really quickly, a lot of times what happens is that water will enter our stormwater system and overload it. And so, for example, a few years ago, we had severe flooding up in University City. And there are still parts of the city that have a combined sewer and water and stormwater system. And so when that stormwater system and sewer systems are overwhelmed, then you get a mixing of sewage and that water that then in flash floods, they combine. And now we're, instead of walking through just flood water, we're walking through sewage water, which never do. Please don't ever walk through flood water if you can help it. But it can greatly impact our health and well-being and our infrastructure across the St. Louis region.
Yeah, those are good reasons to take action, I'm saying. Yeah. The two things that I've discovered in my own experience of owning property is definitely foundations are extremely important.
Yes.
And B, don't mess with sewage systems.
Yes.
Don't let them be a problem.
That is very true.
Those are two things I know. All right. Yeah. What is blooming right now? I know, you know, typically fall, we're thinking about things dying in the wintertime, but what's blooming right now in October?
There's actually still quite a few plants that are blooming. We have asters are blooming, and asters, if you're not familiar with them, they look a lot like mums. A lot like mums. And so they can bloom white, they can bloom purple, blue, and they will bloom, some of them will continue blooming through the end of November. We also have goldenrods. Goldenrods bloom yellow. You see them a lot along the roadsides. And those are really important flowers for bees and butterflies to collect the nectar and pollen and prepare for their whatever they're doing over the winter. We have other things in the garden that are blooming, like some of our fall blooming anemones are still blooming. And so those anemones are windflowers. Typically they're white or pink. They're very ornamental, big flowers. The crepe myrtles should be wrapping up, as Robert was asking about earlier. And then we'll soon be having some, actually a tree that'll be blooming, which is our witch hazel. So witch hazels do bloom really, really late in the season, when nothing else is in bloom.
Tell me about witch hazel. I'm not picturing it right now.
So witch hazel is a small tree or shrub. Generally, you can see that their big characteristic is a lot of them are what's called vase-shaped, and then they have a lot of horizontal branching. So they're really, really pretty. Their flower structures are unique. They, instead of having really wide petals that are super showy, they have a bunch of really slender petals that are kind of crinkly, and they look like a bunch of fingers coming out of their flower structure.
That seems kind of creepy.
They are a little creepy, but
it's that time of year. It's Halloween season, so.
Yeah.
That is Erin Goss. She is with the Shaw Nature Reserve. Many years' experience in the gardening world can answer your questions, whatever it might be, as we celebrate fall. So stay tuned. The number to call is 314-436-7900. Hide away beneath the waves.
Resting our head on the seabed. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.